Good morning and welcome. This is a session on improving quality of community health services. Our first speaker is not able to come today, so this throws us off a little bit timing-wise. So we're going to have Dina Kurz starting at 10:30 as opposed to at 10:50. So I apologize if this doesn't coordinate well with the schedule, but we just found out this morning he wasn't able to make it. So our first speaker is Dina Kurz. She is a graduate of University of Michigan, much like myself, which is very exciting. She's in the Office of Academic Affairs at Michigan. So she graduated and left for a while and came back. Michigan is an attractive place to be. So she's Managing Director for Non-Degree Distance Learning at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. And she directs the e-collaborative project that is the focus of her presentation today. I'll give you the long form of her biography since we're no longer pressed for time. That's not necessary. Okay. So we'll stick with that. But she does have her master's in Health Services Administration degree from University of Michigan School of Public Health, and her bachelor's degree is from Cornell. So again, what she's presenting on today is a project that she's overseeing at the university.
Good morning, everyone. And I am going to be talking about improving quality in community health, but in somewhat of an unusual context or an innovative context. I work in collaboration with Chris Wise, co-author on this paper, who is at the University of Michigan Health System. And the health system is working with Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Michigan to give incentive to physician practices to become patient-centered medical home. And the health system is using lean thinking to create this learning for the physician practices. And my role and the role of my team is in creating a virtual learning collaborative to support all this change for the physician practices. So I just want to, one, thank you for being here on the last day of the conference, and two, get a sense of familiarity with patient-centered medical home, a little bit, lean. Okay, that just helps me in what to focus on. And given that we have additional time, please feel free to interrupt with questions. I want to disclose that this work is funded by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, and I have no other additional financial relationships to disclose. As I said, I want to help you understand both the context of the work of the Lean Coordinating Center at the University of Michigan Health System and why it was important to create a web portal. You can think of it as a website, as an online learning tool, which hence my background in distance education and online learning and public health, and describe some key components of that site, challenges, and lessons we have learned in trying to build a virtual learning community among these physician practices in the state of Michigan. And then an opportunity, I hope we'll have plenty of time to address your questions. So the Lean for Clinical Redesign Coordinating Center has been focused on patient-centered medical home. But we all understand with the Affordable Care Act and changes in healthcare financing and healthcare delivery and the fact that we invest a lot in our health system in this country with not necessarily the best outcomes in the world, we know that patient-centered medical home, PCMH, is going to be one aspect of clinical redesign that's going to looking forward, that's going to be on their agenda. Yes? Okay. Is that better? I am so sorry. Okay. So basically, we began as Lean for PCMH, and through the initial evaluation project process, this project is about 3 years now in the making, the e-collaborative piece, the web piece. We adopted clinical redesign as opposed to just the focus on PCMH. Currently, there are 22 physician organizations in the state of Michigan engaged, 140 primary care clinics. So in those clinics, we're engaging the people who do the work. So that's from the receptionist on up to the docs. So you've got a lot of people involved in the process of changing the practice of primary care. And we have additional payers. Michigan is part of the CMS demo, and there are other additional payers in Michigan that are engaged in this work. So there's a lot of people around the table in the process. So we start to think about why is a web portal important? Why is a learning tool important that's global, 24/7 accessible? And one of the clear learnings from the work of the Lean Coordinating Center over the last 6 years is that change is hard. There's a comfort in the way people do things. There's the financial pressure. So against the time commitment, there isn't a lot of research right now that says patient centered medical home both improves quality and cuts costs. But I'll speak to that. That's part of the evaluation that is continuing to go on. There's obviously time pressure in the delivery of primary care. And practices they have a sense of what is laid out as patient-centered medical home. You've seen NCQA guidelines. The American Academy of Family Practice has their guidelines. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Michigan has 13 domains of function. There's a lot of different lingo involved, and people all have different definitions. And so the practices really need support in building adaptive reserve, which is a term coined by Nutting and his colleagues, and figuring out where to begin, how to move forward. This is a schematic of the requirements in the Lean collaboratives. It's a multi-day, multi-month process, and the first learning collaborative actually launched at the same time as this website, and that was a year long, involved 3 different health systems and 19 different clinics. There's the problem definition stage, there's the if you're somewhat familiar with Lean, there's the process of getting the picture of what the current state is, identifying all of the waste, the rework, and then envisioning what your future state is going to be, and developing goals and action plans for getting there, and then implementing them. And then it's the PDSA cycle, plan, do, check, adjust, or plan, do, study, adjust, and, you know, depending on who you studied with initially and what Lean is about. But there's a lot that's required of the practices in this process. I didn't fill in the blanks. This is actually available on our website, but these are the deliverables that the physician organizations and physician practices agree to at the beginning with the Lean Coordinating Center. And so it's learning a whole new language. What's a charter? What's a problem statement? What's a problem statement that's small enough in scope that we can actually address and get some success? You know, SIPOC in terms of supplier input process, outputs, and customers, identifying all those different pieces. So there, again, it's a lot of information that's coming down the pike, and building the website was an idea of being, in essence, a course companion, a resource for those people who were not able to attend the different learning sessions where you're mapping out your current state. And the map comes back to the clinic. We put hairspray on it at the end of the session so it can go back to the clinic without getting all mussed. And, you know, you bring it into the clinic and people are like, what? did you do? You know, what's going on? What is this about? And there's a lot, you know, basic human nature is we're going to be a little bit concerned about change because does it mean I'm losing my job? Does it mean my job is going to be different? How much am I going to have control over how things change? And one of the things that we have heard from the clinics is that unlike other quality improvement or change processes that they've been through, Lean is participatory. It is, you need leadership support, obviously, for the time off and the changes that are proposed need to be supported. But it is that the whole premise of Lean is the people who redesign the work are the people who are doing the work. And in that way, it is much more participatory than a lot of quality improvement processes that physician offices have been through in the past. To get started, we did a survey of 170 likely users. They divided into two groups, the early adopters and those who were just beginning this year-long learning collaborative. And we thought what they wanted from the site would be a roadmap to how to become patient-centered medical home. And that was on their list, but more towards the bottom. There were a lot of other things, supports, methods, understanding that they wanted from the website. And so we started in an iterative process trying to figure out how we could organize this information in an intuitive way that would also be interactive and be useful. And that's been a big job. So this is the design of L4CR, which when you do web design, you want a URL that makes sense, but you also want then a URL that people are going to be remembering and able to type in without typos. So that's how we got to L4CR. We designed it for multiple audiences. We are addressing physician practices at very different levels and roles within the organizations, and physician practices that have had a variety of experience with Lean. So you've got the people who are experts in Lean, the people who, you know, don't really have an understanding, and to them, Lean means I'm going to lose my job. You know, somebody's going to get cut in this process. The website functions both as a repository and a library. We are newly developing a Connect with Others feature, which is not quite Facebook, but an opportunity for people to learn from each other. And it is also a way for the Lean coaches to leverage their work to scale. Because in the collaborating center at the University of Michigan Health System, you have coaches dealing with practices across the state and in various stages of their Lean cycles, some in year-long learning collaboratives, some in 3 or 6 month collaboratives, and they want a place where they can send people for homework. So the site was structured with the 4 main bars, as you can see on the site. Learn is the place we hope people will get started. I guess I lost that little arrow. Oh, there we go. Which helps understand the intersection between lean thinking and, in this case, patient-centered medical home or clinical redesign, how practices can get started. It basically lays out, that part of the website lays out the different phases. GoSee provides stories from the field, and Do the Work is actually helps the learning collaboratives collect all of the documents that are shared with them at different sessions, the templates that they need to fill out, and basically is a way then of having the individuals across the provider organizations have a place to see what's going on as it's going on. In resources, we've collected a bunch of QI and Lean tools, both as templates and then filled in as examples from the work that's been done. We have videos, both generic to Lean and to the work of physician practices, where we have the medical director or the receptionist talking about their experience, what were the challenges to the work, what were the enablers to the work, and we have a variety of background articles linked in resources as well. In the Connect with Others feature, as I described it, we probably have in the neighborhood of 30 individuals who speak about what their role, or they sign up as their role in the organization, and also their familiarity with Lean. What have they worked on? Have they worked on an EMR intervention? Have they worked on creating an asthma registry or implementing asthma action plans for their patients? And so people who are in similar roles and stages of learning can connect with each other. We use a newsletter on a monthly or every other month basis to let people know what's new. We are nothing except something that is evolving to meet the needs of the people that we serve. And so we really solicit feedback, and we find ways to bring people back to the site. We do have a Facebook page, not many followers, but we do update it weekly. So that we aren't quite the museum that we might be. And we don't tweet at the moment, but we do follow a number of folks on Twitter, and we do understand that Twitter may become a more and more effective tool for us in reaching out. In measuring our reach, we have 260 registered users. So a lot of the site is visible to just about anyone, but we are trying to protect the intellectual property of the clinics and their privacy to some degree of the information that they're sharing with us. So we do monitor who registers for the site, and 85% of those 260 folks have been involved in one learning collaborative or another. We use Google Analytics to do a lot of tracking of the use of the site, and although the average time on the site in the last month was about 5 minutes, it belies the fact that there are a number of individuals who are visiting the site for 20 or 30 minutes and using a variety of the different tools there. So we're very encouraged in that regard, and we see that returning users are on the site much longer than people who are newly registered. And we do make an effort at the kickoff of any of the learning collaboratives to be there with the ability to just sign people up in advance, because if nothing else, we can push out information to them even if we're not pulling them to the site. The challenges, of course, have been being identified as useful. I described a little bit about the overwhelmed nature of engaging in these learning collaboratives and finding time, particularly if you're not a person who normally cruises the web, can be a little bit difficult. We've had a big struggle gathering content, and we had kind of a breakthrough in the first year when the Lean coaches figured out that we were not trying to eliminate their job, but we were trying to support them in a very in any way that we could possibly. And so they have become, in some ways, our biggest proponents. We also saw a lot of inconsistency of messages. We have outside consultants, the Lean coaches, tripled in number in the last year, and people were using different tools, different icons, different definitions. And once you put something in writing and you put it up on the web, you see all of the glaring errors. And I really believe, although I have no data to document this, that we are helping the learning collaborative get better at delivering their message and honing their message. And this helps the folks in the field, who have to absorb that message because there is consistency in it. We have improved our usability, and we did a baseline survey. There probably were 150 users, and the fact that we had a search function, 3% of them noticed. So we are trying to do a better job of letting people know that, primarily through the newsletter that we send out. We have had technical issues, mostly with the longer videos of sessions. Moving forward, we want to continue the engagement of the Lean coaches, both in the collaborative and those that are being developed through these cycles, with the practices. Again, the consistency of message, the idea that we are supporting, not supplanting their work. We are in the process of trying to develop learning modules that will help people understand the various components of value stream mapping as it applies to ambulatory care, which has a very different focus than manufacturing or even than care delivered in a hospital. We're also documenting the clinic engagement through digital stories, and that's something that's new for us. And we're hopeful in developing new knowledge both in how to foster a virtual learning collaborative as well as how to virtually get people across the state to be able to communicate with each other about their challenges and be more efficacious in practices becoming lean. I want to acknowledge my co-author, Chris Wise, our web developer extraordinaire, Jim Archer, the whole team at the Lean Coordinating Center, the leadership of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Michigan that has provided the financing in an envisioned way to work through this understanding of patient-centered medical home and its value both to the health system in terms of cutting costs and to the patient, the king, in this equation in terms of improving the quality of care, and to Karen and Chaz Moeller, who are our web and logo designers. I don't know if there's time for questions now. We can hold them. Time for questions now. And please visit the website, l4cr.org, and e-collaborative help is a way to get your questions answered if they occur after this presentation. Thank you very much for your attention. Any questions? Yes.
I'm Erin Grace from ARC, and ARC has been promoting the team step. And I was wondering how this is different from or similar to team step. And you may not be familiar with team step,
Well, so I'm not familiar with team steps. Chris is very involved in ARC at and Academy Health at a variety of different levels. So, so the question was about how this is different from team steps, and I don't know if team steps is also virtual collaborative. I've been on various parts of the ARC site. Where there's an attempt to foster a blog or a wiki or dialogue, and it's somewhat anemic, if you'll forgive my. But I think that's a big challenge in these web tools. It's almost like you have to hold people's hands, get them there, and then you get to sort of a critical mass or a tipping point or whatever, and then people are able to see the value in it. But it just blows me away in terms of the number of hits that something on YouTube might get versus these small 5-minute video with Dan Dennison talking about organizational change and how hard it is to get people's attention to things that really matter.
Yeah, and just to be clear, TeamStep is not a virtual collaborative, but it's a team process for doing improvement. like the lean process. And so I guess that is where the similarities might come in, is the clinical redesign. I don't think Team Stuff is really framed as clinical redesign, and it may be focused on inpatient also. So it was just,
Mm-hmm. No, I think there's a lot of different work going on across the country in a variety of communities. I attended a couple of presentations yesterday in particular. There's pilots that are that the Alterum Institute did with community health centers across the country. And I think the idea, but I think the basic idea from Nutting's work is that in order to have any kind of consistent, effective change in the healthcare system, there really is a need to build adaptive reserve. And this outside coaching, whatever you want to call it, that is in essence, at its core, relationship building. Because that's really what it is. It's, you know, that's what we hear from the physician practices is, I didn't know that, you know, the director of the health system was listening. I didn't know that my voice mattered. I didn't know that I could raise these issues. So that's been really crucial and important in this work. And there is a lot of this relationship building that is going on. So adaptive reserve is the is building the capacity for change, and I'm not going to misquote it any more than that. There's actually the Nutting article is on our site. The TransferMed work in patient-centered medical home really speaks to that, and we try to think about the drivers, the doers, and the leaders in an organization. So the doers are the people who are doing the work, the drivers are the people who are working to create change, and the leaders are the leaders, and they can actually fall into those other categories as well, and try to address them where they are in understanding whatever the trajectory is of the change. Because engaging each level of those people in the organization, and they cross different roles like nurses or physicians or even office managers, engaging them across the spectrum is what helps build adaptive reserve.
So if there are more questions, why don't we take them at the end?
Thank you.